This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. We've got a great show for you today, but before we get started, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and get our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime fun and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got a great show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. We're going to do something fun on today's show, something different. Normally, we have conversations each week with someone who's been through a health challenge or an expert in the health field. But today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be answering questions that we get asked all the time, from which diet is best for me, do I really need vitamins and supplements, is juicing healthy, and so much more. We're going to look at those questions and the answers, and I'm going to give you a lot of ideas and things to think about. So grab your pen and paper, take notes, and I also invite you, if you hear something that you want to know more about, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and click on Facebook and go to Facebook and list your questions, and we'll be sure to answer them. So let's get started. The first question is, I've tried every diet available and they haven't worked. I'm desperate. What can I do to lose weight? Well, I'm not surprised that you haven't found success with dieting. Most diets are designed to sell books and supplements, not make you healthier. Many successful diets focus on quick weight loss to keep you motivated, but unfortunately, they aren't sustainable for the long run. When you're required to make extreme diet changes or follow strenuous exercise routines, it's hard for most people to stay motivated and engaged for the long term. That's why diets don't work. We believe that you should really be focusing on getting healthy and not losing weight. What we've learned from working with many clients is that when you focus on getting healthy, your body automatically finds its natural healthy weight. Wouldn't it be great if you never had to diet again, ever? When you focus on eating healthy, that's exactly what happens. We found that the key to success and weight loss, if that's really what you're looking for, is to understand what we call your big why. Knowing your big why helps you create a blueprint for success. It's about identifying and understanding what really drives you and your eating choices, and it's the key to finding the right motivation to drive the right results. For me, it's all about making sure I'm healthy so that I can be actively involved in my grandchildren's lives. Whether it's taking part in school activities, getting down on the floor and playing with them, or just running around after them. And with three of them, there's a lot of running around to do. I know I want to stay healthy so that I can be around for a long time and be an active part of their life. That's what drives me, and that's what my passion is. That's my big why. So stop and think about what's driving your desire to lose weight and get healthy. And hint, it's not about fitting into a certain pant size or dress size or losing 10 pounds for your class reunion next month. It's much bigger than that. Your big why is something deep inside you, something you're passionate about, and something that's big enough and powerful enough to drive you to action. So the next time you decide to go on a diet, make sure you identify your big why before you get started. You know, your big why is so important. That's why it's one of the first things that we do in our Eat Great, Live Well program. And it's also why a lot of people try diets and they don't work. They're not going about it for the right reason. They're not trying to get healthy. They're just trying to lose weight. And the way you approach it makes all the difference in the results that you get. Another question I get asked quite a bit is, I see ads all the time about the health benefits of vitamins and supplements. People ask if we sell vitamins and supplements, and we don't. We believe that it's all about a balanced, colorful diet with variety and with foods that you enjoy. If you eat that way, you'll get all the vitamins and nutrients your body needs. What I mean by a colorful diet is a diet that includes lots of colorful food. The more colors, the better. You see, it's simple. Different colors are caused by varying plant pigments that add nutrient value. Each family color has a very specific health benefit. Carrots are orange because they have a lot of beta carotene, which is converted to vitamin A and is particularly helpful in maintaining visual health. Tomatoes are red because they contain lipocine, which helps prevent some cancers. By eating a wide variety of colors, you get a wide variety of vitamins and nutrients. Some people think that if they take supplements, that they don't have to eat healthy or even pay attention to what they're eating. And that just isn't true. It's much better for your body to get the vitamins and nutrients it needs directly from the original source than it is from a pill. When we work with clients, we teach them how to select different foods based on color, which is much easier for most people to understand. That way, they don't have to worry about learning all the individual vitamins and nutrients. We believe in keeping healthy, eating simple. And if you want to learn more about the question of vitamins and supplements, we did a great interview with Dr. Susan Wilder, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that. You can get the link at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Be sure to check it out. She's got lots of great information for you. You know, another question we get asked, and it's really a popular topic, is about juicing. People say they see ads everywhere and want to know if it's really good for you. Some people even say it seems like a fad. You know, that's one of those questions with the answer of, it depends. Let me explain what I mean by that. By juicing, you're extracting the nutrients found in the juices of fruits and vegetables, but you're also leaving behind one of the most valuable parts, the natural fiber found in the meat or pulp of the fruit or vegetable. That pulp helps keep your digestive tract very healthy. Also, when you juice, you may find that you have to buy a lot of fruits and vegetables just to make one glass of juice. That can be both expensive and time-consuming. Finally, fruit juice can have a lot of sugar and calories in it. So when you drink juice, you can take in a lot of calories very quickly. Let me give you an example. An apple, about a cup's worth, has 50 calories, but a cup of apple, when it's juiced, has more than double that. Think about how fast you can drink a cup of juice compared to how long it takes you to eat a handful of apple slices. And you can begin to see how you can drink a lot more calories than you get versus eating it bite by bite. The bottom line is, juicing can be part of a healthy eating plan, but we don't recommend it as a replacement for healthy eating. So, you know, think about it. When you decide to juice or decide to drink your calories, really look at the amount you're getting and the amount of calories versus actually eating healthier. I think I know what choice you're going to make once you start looking at it that way. You know, another great question we get asked is, people say, I'm busy and don't have time to cook, and I know restaurant food isn't that good for me, so how am I supposed to eat healthy? You know, that's one of the most common myths about healthy eating. Cooking healthy food doesn't have to take a lot of time. In fact, it can actually be faster than going out to dinner at a restaurant. Think about it. When you decide you're going to go out, you have to decide where you're going to go. You have to get in the car. You have to drive there. Then you have to order. Then you have to eat. Then you drive home. That's a lot of time that you could use to stay home and cook something healthy. Maybe you don't feel like cooking, but don't say that it takes a lot more time than going out. You know, the real key to that is planning. Many of the meals we prepare take less than 15 minutes from start to serving. You might ask, how can we do that? We make sure that we have the right ingredients at home. You know, and as a side note, we have some great tip sheets, including shopping list basics and ideas for quick meals, along with several other great tip sheets on our website. Just go to eatgreatlivewell.com. You know, and here's one of the tips that I give my one-on-one coaching clients. Create a list of 6 to 10 healthy, easy-to-prepare meals and list them on 3x5 cards with the ingredients and the preparation instructions. Then make sure you keep the ingredients for those recipes in the house. That's the planning part. When you're strapped for time, just pull out one of the cards and you have a healthy meal that your family will love and it can be ready in a snap. That's just a sample of the type of strategies that we use to help our clients create their own healthy blueprint for a healthy future. So the next time you say that it takes too much time to cook at home and you want to go out to a restaurant, I challenge you to take a minute and really think about the time it's going to take to drive there, to order, to eat, versus just picking out one of your favorite recipes, pulling the ingredients out of the cupboard. 15, 20 minutes, you're ready to sit down. Think of the extra time that you can create for yourself. You know, I hope you're enjoying these questions and you're getting a different perspective on how to look at some of these questions. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit and answer some questions on how do you deal with all the information that's out there and how do you know what to believe and what are some of the biggest mistakes people make when they try to lose weight. This is Janelle McCauley and this is Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley. And today we're sharing some of the most frequently asked questions we get asked, whether we're coaching clients, whether we're out at health fairs, whether we're out just talking to people, whenever they hear that we help people build a healthy relationship with food and that I'm a food psychology coach, they start asking questions about how to eat healthier and what they can do. And today we're addressing and sharing some of those questions with you. One of the other questions I get asked quite a bit is, there's a lot of health and nutrition information available. Who should I believe, and how can I keep up with everything? And you know, you're absolutely right. There is a lot of information, and much of it's confusing and conflicting. If you search on Google for the term healthy eating, you'll find more than 32 million results. And you heard that right. 32 million. So how do you know where to start? That's one of the reasons that we spend so much time researching health, diets, and nutrition, and all the topics, so you don't have to. The thing that's really important for you to remember is that there are no medical, educational, or experience requirements for diet book authors. Just about anyone with a great idea can write a diet book. They don't have to know anything about nutrition or health. And to me, that's a really scary thought. When it comes to getting answers to your health and nutrition questions, we suggest that you stick with trusted sources. Those include sources that have a good reputation and, most important, aren't trying to sell you a particular diet or diet product. Sources like the American Heart Association, the American Medical Association, and Mayo Clinic, they provide unbiased health and nutrition information. We hope that you also include our site in your list of trusted resources, too. We work hard to unravel the mystery behind health and nutrition, and have worked with doctors, cardiologists, bariatric clinics, nutritionists, and individuals for more than 25 years, and have helped more than 750,000 people improve their health and their lives. We have hundreds and hundreds of articles on our blog covering a range of health and nutrition topics. We also have written a number of ebooks too. You can find out more about all of these resources on our website at eatgreatlivewell.com. Our goal is to help you create a healthy future for yourselves and those you love. And we'd love to help you too. So remember, there's a lot of information out there, but you don't have to go through all of it. Find the sources that you trust and use them. And if you can't find the answer, let us know and we'll help. We'll try to point you in the right direction. You know, we often talk to people about diet mistakes about losing weight. And so the question that we always get asked is, what are the biggest mistakes people make when trying to lose weight? And the answer to that question is actually in the question. The biggest mistake people make is trying to focus on weight loss rather than creating a healthy lifestyle. If you eat healthy and exercise regularly, your body will automatically find its healthy, natural weight. Another mistake people make is to try to lose weight too quickly. They forget that in most cases, the weight didn't go on overnight, yet they want an overnight fix. Sorry to disappoint you, but there just isn't one. At least one, not one that's safe and healthy for you in the long run. A third mistake people make is setting unrealistic goals, which sets people up for failure. Let me give you an example. I worked with a woman who wanted to get back to her weight she was in high school, and that was many, many years ago, and a lot had changed since then. She tried a number of approaches to lose weight, and nothing worked. Now, it was good that she wanted to get healthy and lose some weight, so we worked together. She got healthy and realized a healthy weight without dieting, and she was thrilled. Setting a goal that's really not achievable isn't productive and can actually be very discouraging and demotivating. At some point along the way, you realize that you will never achieve the goal you set for yourself, and when that happens, most people give up. I'm going to ask you, when you set a goal for losing weight, ask yourself, is that realistic? Oftentimes when I ask people, when was the last time you were at that weight? They say they've never been at that weight, but it's always been their goal. You know, there's something to think about when you hear somebody say that or when you say that. So think about the number you're setting, think about why you're setting it, and then ask yourself, is it realistic? You know, one of the final mistakes that I want to share is that people trying to lose weight do it for the wrong reason. Again, it shouldn't be to lose weight for an event or to fit a certain dress size that you think you should wear. It's about finding your big why, and remember we talked about that. It's the deep passion inside you that drives your actions. It's about identifying the right motivation to drive the right results. And that's exactly what we do in our Eat Great, Live Well program. You know, the next question I want to share is about reducing the amount of fat in foods and why that's important to health. And you know, it's not just about reducing fat, it's about eating healthy fat. And it's also about reading labels and being aware of what's in your food. You know, and it seems like everyone we talk to tells us that, you know, they've been told they have to eat this or that or to avoid some quote-unquote evil foods. You know, if you talk to enough people or read enough books, then pretty much the whole list of foods to eat are going to be foods that you have to avoid. It's just too much to remember. But there's an easy way. It turns out that by choosing foods naturally lower in fat, you're going to almost certainly make healthier choices. Foods that are naturally lower in fat are fruits, vegetables, lean meats, and they tend to be lower in calories and higher in essential vitamins and nutrients. You know, eating foods naturally low in fat is not the same as eating a higher fat food that has been converted to a low fat version of a high fat food. Let me repeat that because it's really important. Eating food that is naturally low in fat is not the same as eating a higher fat food that's been converted to a lower fat version of the high fat food. When a food is artificially converted to a lower fat version, yes, the fat content is lowered, but to maintain flavor, the fat is usually replaced with sugar, sodium, or other artificial chemicals, and these are not healthy substitutions. When you think about it, that makes sense. Fat gives food flavor, and when you remove the fat, you have to add the flavor back in some way. These low-fat foods may actually be higher in calories, so be careful when you make those choices. The next time you go to the store, check it out and be sure to read the label. When we coach people on how to shop, one of the things we focus on is reading labels and understanding which products are the best choice. Believe it or not, the full-fat version can often be a healthier choice. I know that's probably may sound surprising, but it's really true. If you'd like more information on reading labels, we have several blog posts and ebooks on our site. You might want to check them out and check out our Fat Finder on our products page. It comes with a book that's focused on reading labels and making healthy choices. So when you're reading labels, you want to look at the amount of fat, the amount of sugar, and the amount of sodium. And when they take one away, they're going to increase another one. So it's not just eating something that's low in fat. Be sure you read the labels very carefully. You know, another question I get asked is, some health programs want me to write down everything I eat each day, but that's really hard to do. Do I have to do that to be successful? You know, what I'd say is no, in a word. In fact, several studies have found that when most people self-report what they're eating, those records are unreliable. They often eat things that they don't write down, or they eat more of a food than they record. If someone wants to lose weight or get healthier, they need to change what they're eating and how they behave around food. They don't need a journal to tell them that something needs to change. In addition, we've seen it over and over again that forcing someone to write down something that they eat actually brings up feelings of guilt and shame, and those feelings are counterproductive. Feeling bad doesn't change what you do. It just makes how you feel worse, and it makes the situation often seem hopeless. And it brings on stress. And when you're stressed, the way you process food is very different than when you're calm and relaxed. Your body just doesn't digest it the same. You know, we take a much different approach. Believe it or not, what's more important than what you're eating is why you're eating. That's why we have our clients do a mood journal, not a food journal. We have them record how they feel each time they eat. We have them identify what triggered their eating and how they felt after they ate, as well as a couple other things. This can be a real eye-opener for most people. This process really helps them discover patterns in their eating and helps them redefine their relationship with food. Knowing why you eat what you eat is one of the keys to creating a long-term healthy relationship with food. The best part is that it naturally leads to a healthier future. So no, you don't have to write down everything you eat when you're trying to eat healthier. It's really more about creating an awareness about the choices that you're making. We have to take another quick break. And when we come back, I've got lots more questions to share with you. One of the ones I want to talk about is a gluten-free diet. And I also want to talk about how do you make healthy choices when you don't like certain foods. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're addressing frequently asked questions that we often get asked when we coach our clients, when we're out at events. We often get asked these questions because there's so much information out there. I hope I'm challenging the way that you think today about some of these issues, because a lot of times people get in their head that something isn't working and there's nothing they can do about it. And what I'm hoping by sharing some of these questions and answers is that you're thinking a little bit differently about the choices that you're making, about your relationship with food, maybe about your all-or-none approach. Oftentimes, we think that something just has never worked in the past, so it can never work in the future. And it's really about having the right information, having the right resources available to you. And that's what I love about what we do at Eat Great, Live Well, is that we like to simplify all the information that's out there. We like to take the complicated information and give you ideas and suggestions of things that you can do, things that you can try. It's not hard. And, you know, the results depend on what choice you make. It's easy to do and it's easy not to do. But the choice that you make and the action that you take makes all the difference in the results that you get. So I want to go on and answer a few more questions. The next question is a really interesting one, and it says, my friend tells me that I should try a gluten-free diet. What does that mean, and would it be good for me? And one of the things about this question, and there's been a lot of talk about gluten-free diets and gluten-free eating, and I think it's that people don't really understand it that well. Gluten is a natural protein found in wheat, barley, and rye. A gluten-free diet is a diet that eliminates products with gluten from your diet. Following a gluten-free diet can have benefits if you're sensitive to gluten or have a gluten allergy. But, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. I have a friend who I was traveling with for a week who said that she had to eat gluten-free. But while we were traveling, she didn't eat gluten-free. All the food that we had where we were was just too good to pass up, and she really indulged. At the end of the week, I asked her how she felt because she hadn't been eating gluten-free all week, and she said she was fine. Now, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, but I would say that she didn't need to eat gluten-free. It made no difference to her. And that's a great example of people listening to others rather than listening to their own body. And, you know, we have a great interview that we did. If you go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com, you can access it. It was with Jennifer Fugo, and she is an expert on gluten-free eating and has so much to share. So if you want to learn more about it, I definitely go check out that interview. You know, the truth about gluten-free eating, according to the Center for Celiac Research, is that only about 6% of the population is sensitive to gluten, and only about 1% show extreme sensitivity. So gluten sensitivity is not as common as you would think, although you hear a lot about it. So you might wonder, why all the interest in something that only affects a small number of people? Well, I can tell you one reason is because there are over 300 gluten-free products for sale. And it's big business. Last year alone, there were 178 new books on the topic, and General Mills alone, again, had over 300 gluten-free products to sell, and that's only one company. There's a lot of money to be made in building up people's concern about gluten. So how do you know if you're really sensitive to gluten? The common symptoms of gluten sensitivity are bloating, abdominal pain, and gas, especially after eating foods that contain wheat. If you suspect you're sensitive to gluten, you can talk with your doctor or even try a gluten-free diet to see if it makes a difference. It certainly won't hurt you, but it could help. You know, and there's also a lot of new research out on gluten. And while there certainly are some issues with gluten sensitivity for people that are real sensitive, there's a lot of chemicals that are sprayed on wheat and those items before they're harvested that can affect how they're processed in the body. So it could be, in addition to the gluten sensitivity, it could be all of the pesticides that are sprayed on that. So there's still a lot of new research coming out, so be sure to watch for more on that. But don't just take that you have to eat gluten-free. Really check it out, listen to your body, and talk to your healthcare provider. They can tell you if that's what you need. You know, another question that I get asked is, my family is picky about the foods that they eat, and I'm not going to fix something different for each person in the family. How can I get my family to eat healthy foods and still make everyone happy? Well, you know, there are a number of things that you can do to expose your family to new and different foods. First, you should know that many people don't like certain foods the first time they're served to them. In fact, studies show that you may have to be exposed to a food 10 to 12 times before you're even willing to try it. What can you do to be a role model for your kids? Think about that. Oftentimes our kids follow what we do way more than they listen to what we say, and they copy everything we do. So if you're saying, eat your broccoli, but you're pushing it aside or not even putting it on your plate, how do you expect them to try it? If they see you eating it or see you trying it, they're more likely to try it too. And another thing you might try is getting your family involved in meal preparation. Meals like make your own taco bar or create your own chef's salad or making individual omelets are a great way for people to make their own combination of foods. The last time we did that with our grandkids, they started asking us tons of questions about the foods that we put in our omelets. So it's a great way to experiment with new foods and let everyone try new foods too. The important thing is not to force someone to try a particular food. That's the surest way for them to reject it in the future. It turns out that eating habits we develop in childhood are likely to stay with us through adulthood, and we want to make sure that our kids develop a healthy relationship with food. So get them to shop with you, get them to help cook, get them involved. They're much more likely to eat things that they made than they are things that someone else made. So there's a number of different ways that you can get your kids involved. Also remember that it may be the way the food was prepared. It may be that it's hot versus cold. It may be that it's crunchy versus, you know, soft. It may be that there's a smell to it. It may be the food it's served with. There's a number of reasons. So don't just say, when someone says they don't like it, don't just walk away and never serve it again. Really try to dig down and understand what they didn't like about it and try a number of different ways. One of the foods that is one of our family favorites now is Brussels sprouts. And when we made them before, nobody liked them. Now they're one of the first things to disappear. And that's because we make them differently. We slice them up and we saute them with a little bit of flavored olive oil. Put them with some dried cranberries, a few nuts, a little seasoning, and it's a family favorite. So find some fun ways to try some of the things that people have said they don't like, and I bet you'll find some new family favorites. So just because people say they don't like to eat it, you don't have to be a short order cook. So share some of the things that you try with us, and let's all learn some new family favorites together. Another question I get asked is that I'd like to eat better, but it's so confusing. I don't have time to learn everything. Where do I start and what's really important? First, I want to tell you, you're not alone. This is a common concern. While it's true that some people devote their adult lives to learning everything they can about nutrition and eating, you don't have to do that in order to eat healthy. You don't need to know everything to get started. Every healthy choice you make, even small ones, make a big difference. We suggest that people start by making sure that they're eating plenty of fruits and vegetables. Americans don't eat nearly enough of these, and they are so important to a healthy lifestyle. Next, also try to eat a variety of lean meats, including fish and chicken. We also suggest that you try to keep the amount of fat that you're eating down. The American Heart Association recommends limiting your fat intake to 30% or less of total calories. You do need to have some fat in your diet, but today's world of processed foods, it's almost impossible to eat too little fat. You know, that's where the Fat Finder can help. It's simple to use and can really help you limit the amount of fat in foods you eat. It's already helped almost 750,000 people eat healthier, and it can help you too, so be sure to check it out. Let me ask you, do you think you can make one healthy change? Eat one more vegetable, one less sweet treat, or eat one more meal at home? If you make one healthy choice each week, that equals 52 healthy changes in a year. Think of what a difference that would make on your health and your family's health at the end of a year if you did that. Remember, the year's going to pass by whether you take action or not. And that's a powerful thing to think about. 52 changes equals a big change in your health and a big transformation in the way you look in your body. So I challenge you to make one change a week. We need to take our final break, and when we come back, I want to share a few final questions with you about how do you eat healthy without feeling like you're having to give up all your favorite foods, and I want to talk a little bit about the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today I've been answering a lot of questions we get asked about healthy eating and how to live healthy and eat healthy and make healthy choices. I hope you're getting some great ideas and that I'm challenging the way that you think about eating healthy and about giving you back the ownership of your choices. You know, one of the questions I get asked is, I've tried diets before that restrict me to eating just certain foods, and they just don't work for me. Do I have to give up my favorite foods in order to eat healthy? And the answer, the simple answer is, no, you don't. In fact, just restricting yourself to certain foods can actually have the opposite effect. When you tell yourself that you can't have certain foods, that's the only thing you think about until you finally give in and eat that food. Then you'll probably feel guilty about breaking your diet. When it becomes a test of willpower, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Study after study find that willpower alone just won't work in the long run. Denying yourself the food you love is just not a healthy way to live. You eat every day. It should be a pleasurable experience, not just something you dread. You shouldn't feel like you have to eat foods that you don't enjoy. The trick is finding the right balance so that you feel satisfied and you eat healthy at the same time. And that's possible if you understand what your body needs. That's why we focus on changing your relationship with food so that you can really enjoy what you're eating. We call it savoring the flavor of the food you eat. We don't believe that there are any superheroes or archvillains when it comes to food. Now, there are some foods that are healthier than others and some that you shouldn't eat a lot of. But if you really want a certain food, there's a way that you can include it in your diet, plain and simple. We help our clients use the 90-10 rule. It's about eating right 90% of the time and then treating yourself the other 10%. When you do it that way, you actually find out that over time, you crave less and less of the foods you thought you couldn't live without and that aren't as good for you, and more of the foods that are good for you. It may seem hard to believe, but trust me, it works. This approach has helped many of our clients create both short-term results and long-term change. So you don't have to give up the foods you love, but if you start eating healthy, you'll stop craving those foods as much and you'll learn to make healthy choices and really be happy with the choices that you're making. You know, another question I get asked is, my kids want a snack all day and they don't want to eat meals at mealtime. What should I do? It's natural for kids to want a snack because they're growing. They often need a lot more food for their size than adults do. But having said that, many kids snack for different reasons. They may be bored or stressed. Here are a couple tips that we use for the families we coach. First, many kids confuse thirst with hunger. They may just need fluids. In fact, we usually recommend that you offer your kids a glass of water when they first get home from school. Most kids don't drink much during their school days. That goes for adults too. In fact, our youngest son is in the Air Force, and when he was in basic training, they required the airmen to drink a glass of water before they could eat anything at a meal. They thought getting fluids was pretty important, and it is. It's also a good idea to have a glass or bottle of water always available throughout the day. You may even want to put one in the refrigerator so that it's cold and refreshing. Next, make sure that you have healthy snacks available and give them some choices. If a child's physically hungry, they're likely to eat a healthy snack if it's offered to them. Give them choices: fresh fruit or vegetables, yogurt, cheese, peanut butter, crackers. If they have choices, it empowers them to select what they want. If, on the other hand, their hunger is purely emotional and not physical, then they're likely to ask for particular food, which is exactly what adults do. Here's a big clue. It's likely to be high sugar, a less healthy choice. When this happens, here's what you can do about it. Have a list of short 10 to 15 minute activities that your kids can do. Things like cleaning their room, taking out the trash, emptying the dishwasher, picking up their toys. Use your imagination. You know, another question I get asked all the time is, why are you so passionate about helping kids and families learn how to eat healthier? I'm so passionate because I know how much of a difference it can make when you help people create healthy habits early in life. It turns out that many of our eating habits we have as adults were actually developed when we were children. When you help children enjoy healthy foods, their enjoyment will follow them as they mature, and then they'll teach those same healthy habits to their children. Did you know that a healthy habit you create can impact 6 generations going forward? I was really surprised when I found that out. And in our family, we are on our 4th generation. My dad changed his habits. All 9 of us changed ours. All 28 grandchildren, and now the great-grandchildren. So we're on our 4th generation. It really does make a big difference. But I'm passionate about this because I know how much it can help you and your family. My father had a heart attack when he was just 51 years old. He and my mom then made a mission to create a healthy lifestyle for him and our family. In fact, they were so passionate about it that they started this company, and they've shared what they learned with others so they could learn those healthy habits. Because of what he practiced, my dad got to live another 16 years after the doctors told him there was nothing they could do for him, and he got to know 19 of his grandchildren, all of whom were born after his heart attack. Because of the things my parents taught me about healthy living, I improved my lifestyle and lost weight. Then I taught those same habits to my children, and they're teaching them to my grandchildren. It does work, so I hope that you take some of the things that you've learned, share them with your children, your grandchildren, and all of those around you, and start creating a healthy future for you and the ones you love. You know, another question that I get asked, and one that really is important to think about, is what's the difference between physical and emotional hunger? You know, and there's actually quite a bit of difference. If it's just about eating, then we wouldn't have 2/3 of the population either overweight or obese. We wouldn't have a huge increase in childhood obesity and diabetes that we have. We wouldn't have the need of more than 71,000 diet books that are currently available on Amazon. You know, we eat for a number of reasons. It could be because we are physically hungry or because we're driven to eat by our emotions. Understanding the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger is really important. Physical hunger is when your body tells you that it needs energy. It needs fuel to keep going. Emotional hunger is when your mind tells you that it wants food as a way to comfort you during times of stress, or when you're bored, or when you're tired, or when you want to be socially accepted. In those situations, your body doesn't necessarily need food. It's your mind just telling you it needs to be fed. It leads you to food instead of addressing what you really need. Each person is unique, and understanding why you eat can be just as important as what you eat. When I work with clients, that's one of the first things we look at. Why are you eating? And it's really an eye-opener for most people. If you don't understand why you're eating, then it's likely that no diet will produce the lasting results you're looking for. The final question I'd like to share with you today is, all the health claims on food packages and in product advertising make it difficult to know what to buy at the grocery store. How can I quickly tell what's exactly healthy and what's not? First and foremost, ignore the front of the package. That may seem strange, but let me tell you why. Manufacturers put a lot of marketing claims on the front of their packages, claims like heart healthy, low fat, and all natural. These claims are there for one purpose, and that's to sell the product. They want you as the consumer to select their product instead of the competitor's brand. What you really want to do is turn the package over and look at both the nutrition facts panel and the ingredients list. That's where the important information is. First, look at the serving size to make sure that you're comparing products fairly. In other words, make sure you're comparing apples to apples. Next, look at the number of calories per serving. And you may be surprised to know that often the number of calories is for one serving of food, but you're eating two or three when you look at your serving size. Then, as a general rule, you want to purchase products that have less fat, sugar, and sodium, and products with more vitamins and fiber. Also, take a look at the ingredients list. Ingredients are listed from most to least, so there is more of the first ingredient and less in the last. You should select products with natural first ingredients and hopefully minimum added chemicals. The fewer items, the better the product. The key to selecting healthy foods is to ignore the marketing claims on the front and learn to read labels on the back. We have several articles on our blog that cover this topic in more detail, so I encourage you to check them out at eatgreatlivewell.com. I hope you've enjoyed all the questions that I've shared with you today. These are some of my favorites. These are some of the ones that we get asked all the time. If you've got more questions, be sure to ask. And until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link, share your thoughts, share your questions, and we can answer them on a future show or we'll answer them on Facebook. And be sure to share what you loved about today's conversation. I also invite you to go to eatgreatlivewell.com. And if you'd like to learn more about our Eat Great Live Well program, I'm inviting you to check it out. And if you'd like to join us and learn more about eating healthy, you can register and use the code EGLW50 and get 50% off the cost of the program. Join us. It's a lot of fun. You're going to learn a lot, and you can't help but getting healthier. Take care. Have a healthy week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.